Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
I'm Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic here, episode 14. Wow. If I only do these once a week, but if I had done these once a day, I would have been doing this for 2 weeks already. So yeah, I've got my sea legs now, and hopefully you do too. Hopefully every Monday here at WGN Plus is a spot where you come to click on to the podcast, and I certainly appreciate you listening. I've been getting a lot of nice response from people, and so we're having some fun here. As I said, as the show continues to evolve, we will be adding new things, and in fact, that is something that we're going to be doing today, because like I said, it is episode 14, so it sounds or feels like I've been doing this for 2 weeks. And if you don't really have this down, if you're a host, if you haven't done this, if you don't have it down by 2 weeks, I mean, come on, what are you doing? Call UPS, become a Lyft driver or something. My God. So anyway, I'm having fun here, and we got a couple of things. I want to start the show off today with a sad passing, and I don't know how much, it didn't make a huge amount of news. It made a little, but it certainly affects my daily, or not daily, but weekly television watching. I don't know if you noticed, if you saw, but a political pundit named John McLaughlin died. And the McLaughlin Group was on PBS for like 34 years. It was on here in the Chicago area on Channel 11 for, I think, for that entire run, and mostly on Saturday evenings at 6:30. And my dad used to watch that show, and I started to watch it. I've been a political junkie myself. Every Sunday morning, I start out with Meet the Press and Face the Nation and George Stephanopoulos and you name it. And but it was the McLaughlin Group that really got me into it, because instead of these shows being so dry and so boring, while they certainly talked about the issues of the day, and many of them were international as well as national here, and some of them are talking about taxes or whatever, but McLaughlin always made it kind of interesting and brought an entertainment value to the political punditry. And a lot of that is taken for granted now, 30-some years later. But when he started it in the early 80s, that was not the case. These political shows were very dry and very boring and very just straightforward. And McLaughlin came in and brought a little entertainment value. He himself was kind of a big personality, and he used to have different nicknames for his panelists. There was a guy named Morton Kondracki, and he called him Morton. And there was Fred Barnes was one of the original members. He called him Freddie the Beetle Barnes. And there was Eleanor, and he would say issue one and start the show off, and he would interrupt and counter them. And Dana Carvey, I know there's not a lot of SNL stuff on YouTube, but there is a couple of things. Look up Dana Carvey, McLaughlin Group. He did a spot on and hilarious imitation of John McLaughlin and the McLaughlin Group, and really put it into the pop culture. If people weren't aware of it before then, they became aware of it because of what Dana Carvey did. He does a great impersonation, as well as some of the other panelists. And then if you remember too, Phil Hartman then did a takeoff on the McLaughlin Group in a classic called the Sinatra Group. And Frank Sinatra was the host of this little panel, and there was Sting, and there was supposed to be Sting, and there was supposed to be Sinead O'Connor, and I think Sting played Billy Idol, actually. And it was Sinatra being, and Stephen Edie Gourmet. It's hilarious. I don't know if it's up on YouTube, but so it actually became a spoof of itself. So I just wanted to mention that we will miss John McLaughlin. In fact, I watched it every week. I watched it last week, and it was very strange because for the first time in 34 years, he missed a show. And it was strange because at the beginning of the show, they had a little print message from him saying, I've had a health issue. Please forgive me for not being here, and please forgive my frail voice. And they used him as a voiceover throughout the show, which was kind of weird. And they didn't say what he died of, but he must have had a stroke, because they had him introducing some of the topics and some of the different pieces, and his speech was very slurred and almost hard to understand. And then days later, he passed away. So just wanted to say thank you, John McLaughlin, for bringing some fun to the political world and some entertainment and some great lively political discussions. And the best way to bid John McLaughlin a farewell is to do it in the way that he would end every show. So John McLaughlin, bye-bye. So now we're going to go right to the phones, and our first guest here is Mark Vasco. Mark, are you there?
I certainly am.
Issue one.
Ryan Lochte, Eleanor.
Mark, I think you're a smarky. Marky Smarky.
I love that show. That was the best political show that ever was.
Isn't it? Yeah. And I mean, and then Dana Carvey, like, Eleanor, I think you're Swellinor. Morton Salt, you know, Jack Germondo, Jumbo Jack. I mean, it was, unfortunately, you can't find a lot of Saturday Night Live stuff on YouTube, right. But hit Dana Carvey. He just did an amazing, impersonation. But as I said, I watched it every week. That was in my DVR, McLaughlin Group. In fact, I wonder what's going to happen now that he's dead. They haven't really announced what they're going to do. I'm sure they'll do a couple of, tribute shows. And if you remember, when Cheers went off the air, he hosted a panel with all the Cheers. It was like a McLaughlin Group of the Cheers people.
Yeah.
That was like during Cheers week. They had John McLaughlin on, and an interesting little side note, he was a priest, and he left the priesthood, which I never knew.
Yeah, that's news to me.
Yeah, and he got married twice, and
that explains that.
Yeah, and he was a speechwriter for Nixon as well, but that's not why you're here. Marco Schmarco, I don't know what that, Marky Parky, how's that one?
Close enough.
Marky Parky. No, it's Mark Vasco, sports reporter and announcer here in the Chicago area. And I wanted to get Mark on the phone today for the podcast because, first of all, it is now getting close to September. And, you know, I've had Mark on different times when I filled in on WGN on the radio. And we've been talking about this since even before the baseball season started. But now this is getting real with our Cubbies.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt about it. Well, and you and I have also talked about how, since we're not used to cheering and rooting for a good team.
Right.
We're still trying to figure this all out.
But you can't.
It wasn't too long ago.
Exactly. Remember they had, what, they had a 9 or 10 game losing streak? Everybody was freaking out.
Well, and then they won 11 in a row.
I know.
And then lost two straight to the Cardinals, and everybody lost their mind. Just won 11 straight. We can lose two. It's not the end of the world.
I had to laugh. I mean, I want to talk about the Cubs a little later in our segment here, but I just want to bring this up because I was watching the game the other night, and so the Cubs were playing the last. Isn't Milwaukee in last place?
Yes.
Okay. The last place Brewers. Okay, this game means absolutely nothing. I mean, in reality, the Cubs are 13 games up.
Right.
They have the most wins in the national, in the American, in baseball by at least 5 games. They have the best league and the best record in baseball. Yep. They have been running away with the division. They're going to, at least as the division is concerned, they're going to go wire to wire, which is amazing. But I'm watching this game, and I can't remember which game it was. It was a close game it was the second game of that doubleheader.
Oh, right.
The other day. And Chapman is pitching. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he walked a guy or something, and they showed the people in the crowd.
Right.
And they looked like it was game 7. Of the World Series. They showed this guy with gray hair. He had both hands on his head. like he was having a headache. The other guys, you know, all the frat boys had their Cub jerseys on, and they're standing up and they're holding their chins. And I mean, then you've got the middle-aged ladies that all of a sudden realize that, you know, there's men that like the Cubs, so they buy a Cub jersey and run out to Wrigley Field. That's their talk about a Viagra triangle. and they're clapping, and I'm sitting there going, it's Milwaukee.
Right. Yeah.
This game.
The bases, and everybody freaked out. Well, that means, if we let this one get away, then we've only beaten them 3 out of 4 instead of all 4.
I mean, what is going to happen?
Yeah. No. Well, I know.
What is going to happen in October when there are close games, and there will be? And I mean, if the Cubs ever had a chance to win the World Series, it certainly is this year, and they have risen to the expectations. And in fact, they've not only risen; they've actually, you know, gone over the expectations. But if people are, you know, once again, as we said, Mark, exactly what you said, Cub fans are not used to rooting for a legitimately good team.
No.
They don't know how to do it. They don't know how to do it.
Well, I looked it up, okay? I believe the Cubs right now are 34 games over 500.
Yeah, that's outrageous.
Okay, now keep in mind, Jack Brickhouse announced the Cubs for 33 years. Do you know how many seasons he announced a team that was 30 games over 500?
I can't be ever. None.
One.
Which year was that?
69.
69. And then he screwed it up.
And then they screwed it up. But for a while.
Yeah. They were that far up. They were that far up in 69. Wow. I didn't know
that's
that.
That's the only time in his 33 years he got to announce basically a team that we're seeing.
Yeah.
This year, that's how rare this is my point.
Yeah, it is so rare. And like I said, fans are just, they're waiting for the worst to happen. And it's almost like, you know, and now and we've seen it happen here in the last several years because the Blackhawks were kind of in that same kind of mode. Where, you know, they went to the Stanley Cup a few times in the 70s, and they lost to Montreal. And then they lost in the night with Mike Keenan in the early 90s. Wasn't that Philadelphia? I'm not sure who they lost to that time. But, you know, they lost in the finals.
Right.
It was Pittsburgh. That's right. And so, you know, you're getting there, and it's like, oh, they always come close. And then now the Blackhawks have won 3 cups, and now we're Leafs Hawk fans are over that. Well, it can't happen to us thing.
Yeah, when is it gonna? Yeah, when is this gonna go south?
Right, Blackhawk fans don't wait for it to go south anymore. They always expect to win. And my gosh, if the Cubs are 34 games up and you are still not used to them winning,
right?
I mean, come on, guys.
Here's another one. The run differential thing.
You are filled with facts today.
I am filled with facts today. The Cubs in run differential are a plus 209. You know who's second?
Who?
The Nationals at 143.
That's what I mean. I mean, the Cubs.
60 runs better than anybody else in baseball.
Well, we're recording this on Friday, the 19th. This will post on Monday. But just the other day, I mean, Chris Bryant had some outrageous game yesterday. I mean,
only had 5 hits, 2 home runs, and 5 driven in.
You know, you know what kills me, too? What I love about, you know, actually, you know what? We're probably talking about the Cubs. We're talking about the Cubs now. We might as well continue. So here's what kills me. Do you remember last year there was all this talk about why don't they bring up Chris Bryant before April 15th or whatever that date was, because, you know, if you're serious, you want to get on a winning thing quick. And then, you know, Theo Epstein is like, look, if we wait a week and a half, we get an extra year of this guy before he becomes a free agent. And they're all screaming, but we want him now. And I'm like, thank God that Theo Epstein didn't listen to those screwballs and fall into that fan thing. Well, okay, I guess we'll bring it up. No, that was the – now those fans, nobody remembers that when he hit 2 home runs yesterday and 5 hits, no one remembers that he didn't come up on April 7th as opposed to April 20th.
No one remembers
that, and now they're happy because they will have him for an extra year before free agency.
Well, but I mean, I understood it because those few years before that were brutal.
I understand that, but you got
to. It was like, we want to win some ball.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? Another week, and if it was 3 months, I'll give it to you, but not a week and a half.
Well, right. I mean, it was the middle of May. It's like a month.
Yeah, a big deal.
I know what you're saying. No, exactly right. We're going to, before we have to pay him,
is anybody
$50 million, we get another year.
I want to talk to any of those people. Now, when this guy is going to be one of the best players in baseball. I mean, he could even win the MVP this year.
Absolutely.
And it's like, oh, we wanted him up a month earlier. Shut up. Now you got him for another year, at least, hopefully.
I know.
But anyway, so I have to laugh when I watch the Cubs, too. When you're watching and you're listening to, I mean, it's amazing. I felt so sorry for Len Casper the last several years because those games were treacherous.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And you could hear his voice, especially like right now, like around now in August of the last 5 years. I mean, he sounded like, his puppy just got killed. I mean, it was so boring. They were out of it by the second inning every game.
Oh yeah, it was just ugly.
And now you just hear, Len Casper's voice. He sounds like he got like 15 shots of
B12. It's Christmas every day.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is.
I mean,
and I thought about that too, because I watched that Milwaukee series, and the 6, 7, 8 batters in the Milwaukee lineup are 209, 210, 211 in their batting averages. Well, the Cubs, like Baez is batting eighth and he's hitting 289 or whatever. It's like, if you remember, you and I are about the same age. Back in the day, if Ernie wasn't coming up that inning,
you even watch.
They were not going to score.
No. Yeah, I mean, and that's the best part. Like you said, you got your eighth hitter is hitting 280.
Yeah.
He can't even crack the first six, the first six spots in the batting order.
Now they can score at every part of the lineup all throughout the ballgame. If you're a pitcher, well, first of all, you're going to have to face Rizzo and Bryant back-to-back for the next 10 years. Good luck with that. And then even if you get by them, you still have all these other guys like Soler and Baez who can hit the ball over the moon.
No, I mean,
and at the bottom of the lineup.
Yeah, no, it's just a solid team. And as I've said before, and we talked about this, the reason why they are so good and will be good for at least – the foreseeable future is they were able to do something that not many teams do. And I do credit Ricketts for allowing this to happen. And that was that Theo blew up not only the major league team, he blew up the entire franchise.
Oh, absolutely.
And started from scratch. Literally even blew up Ho-Ho-Cam Park.
Oh, right.
I mean, they don't even have the same facilities anymore. But, I mean, so instead of most teams, what they do is they have this core, and then they continue to try to take little pieces and get a free agent here, bring a guy up there, and it's always patchwork.
Oh, right.
But what the Cubs have done, which is really, it's a great opportunity if you can do it, they have started from ground zero, and so – for a while there, they were doing the rent-a-players, and they were getting guys and trading them for prospects, and everybody was complaining because they were losing all these games. But they were not only stockpiling prospects, but they were stockpiling one or two good guys at every position. I mean, they were literally handpicking guys to say, okay, we've got two shortstops. We have two second basemen. Right. I mean, some teams don't even have one. And so they not only have a great starting lineup, but because of that ability over the last 5 years to do this hand-picked kind of starting from scratch thing, they've got depth that no team has right now.
Well, and that's all because anybody else can try this, but you have to draft the right guys.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about that. I mean,
you can blow this all up, but if you don't then, with high draft picks because you finished in last place, pick the wrong guys, then this is not going to work. So not everybody could do this. That's why I was kind of skeptical, because I have seen, decades of lousy draft picks by Cubs GM.
Well, I was a little less skeptical because it was Theo Epstein. It wasn't Salty Saltwell. Remember Salty Saltwell? He literally sold. He was like the concessions guy.
Oh yeah,
and he became the general manager of the team for the Cubs in the 70s. Salty Saltwell. Anyway.
I try not to think of those days. But yeah, no, but but if you draft the wrong guys, none of this matters. They've actually drafted the right guys.
Well, I mean, once again, Theo Epstein, you know, what Ricketts did is he didn't go to the Holiday Inn. He went to the Four Seasons.
Right.
You know, he went for the best guy in baseball, and he paid him, and he's going to have to pay him a heck of a lot more. And who cares? Because, I mean, now with all that stuff going on in that neighborhood, I mean, you know, that's not even a neighborhood anymore, Wrigleyville. That is its own entity.
It's Disneyland.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. They should put a dome over it, and just it should be like the Vatican. It should have its own like government and its own zip code.
Its own police force.
Yeah, its own police force, its own governor. I mean, you name it. But, don't believe me. That is going to now, the Blackhawks didn't even have to win the other two cups. The Blackhawks, that first Stanley Cup, could have lived off that one cup for 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Bears have been living off that one Super Bowl for 30.
30, exactly.
And we still see that.
I know.
And if we have some time, I want to talk about that group. But here's one thing I want to talk about real quickly. So not only are the Cubs making news for what they're doing on the field, but then there was some off-the-field stuff. So how about this, that, you know, Chapman, the reliever, and how do you say his first name?
Araldis.
Araldis. Well, so he's got this background of sexual abuse, and it's been a very controversial and touchy subject, and the Cubs have been trying to do their best to smooth it over because there's a lot of controversy. Obviously, the Cubs have a lot of female fans, and you know they want to make sure that this guy is embraced because even if he's a rent-a-player, this guy throws 100 without even trying. And so apparently, last week, the Cub DJ... And when Vince Lloyd and Lou Boudreau were at Wrigley Field, did the Cubs have a DJ?
No, they did not. I was thinking the same thing. You know, Gary Pressey on the organ wasn't going to play Smack That Bitch Up or whatever. You know what I mean?
So he comes in and they play this song by Prodigy. As you said, the title, Smack My Bitch Up. Okay, now I'll be honest with you. I never heard this song.
Yeah, I mean.
I have no interest. If they would have played this for 20 minutes, I never would have known. I doubt if 99% of the people at Wrigley Field knew what the song was. But I have to say, that DJ should have been fired just for playing bad music. I don't care.
That song was even in the system to start with was a mistake.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care what the song is about. It's just awful.
It's a terrible song.
He should have been fired just for playing bad music.
Well, right.
But I thought it was funny how they had to really come out very quickly. Apparently, this was pointed out to them. And what I loved is, so they fired their DJ, their Cub DJ. But what I loved is they wouldn't say who it was. Like what? You know, so we can't say that DJ Master Flasher. You know, we fired him. Why can't we know his name? So that we don't. So because I don't want to hire him for my 30th anniversary party. Because if he comes in and he goes, "Hey man, here's a song for the happy couple." I don't want to hear Prodigy at my 30th anniversary party. So I want to know what this. I want to know what Cubs DJ, you know, MC Homer, MC Double Play, or whatever the heck MC Addison. What's that other? What's the mascot's name?
Oh, Clark Baldwin.
Clark, yeah.
Yeah, Clark the Cub or whatever.
Yeah, so I just got a kick out of the fact that amidst all this stuff going on with this great season,
right?
Then this BS, and I mean, and first of all, whatever, you know, whatever DJ Double Play, his real name is, you know, DJ Cubby Bear, you know, what, you know, you have to have some tact. You know that the Cubs are a family. kind of entertainment. You know, you don't play a song, whether it's clever, whether you think that no one's going to know it, and you get to tell your friends, hey, man, you know, because you know what that was, that's what this was about.
Of course it was.
You know, that DJ Cubby Bear said, yo, I played Smack My Bitch Up and nobody even knew it. Yo.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, no.
Yeah.
You don't do that at Wrigley Field.
It's not clever, it's not funny, and it's a bad song. Other than that, it was a wonderful decision, and it cost you your job.
Yeah, to play Prodigy, in the words of, right. of John McLaughlin, uh-huh. Wrong!
Again, we just want kids to go, we want a hit. I don't need
exactly.
Prodigy at the ballpark. I really
now,
don't.
Here's the other thing that I have to also bring up very quickly here. And let's have a little intro to this.
You lied, you don't, and you'll be sorry.
Okay, Ryan Lochte. What is he doing?
Talk about bad decision making.
You know, the only, aside from an Olympic performance, once you are done, unless you're Michael Phelps or one of these guys that goes to 17 different Olympics, the only thing you have to do, basically, after the only thing that's going to make you any kind of a living, because for the most part, if you're an Olympic athlete, you've had no other interests in your life.
Right.
So, and I don't know what, you know, and your schooling has probably suffered because you're always at the gym and all, you know, in the pool. The main thing you want to do after the Olympics is parlay that into endorsements and TV analyst jobs.
Absolutely.
And the only way you get those jobs is if you have a good reputation.
Absolutely.
This guy didn't even wait to come home to screw up.
No.
He had to do it over there.
Well, and I said, he wins the gold for the ugly American.
Oh,
and that has nothing to do with that stupid hair. Why did he? I mean, he's got the white hair. I'm like, what are you doing?
Well, here's the thing that kills me too. You, to your point, and you're exactly correct. It's the ugly American in that. You know, think about how cynical that lie was. No one's bringing this up, but it needs to be pointed out. Is that to keep from being, you know, getting in trouble? He went with, hey, look, everybody knows how dangerous Brazil is.
Right, oh yeah.
So let's just say we got robbed. No one will doubt it. No one will doubt that we got a gun put up against our head because this place is Dodge City. And it's just like, you remember several years ago when that guy from Boston killed his pregnant wife and he made up the fact that a black man killed her?
Oh, yeah.
Because of the race divides in Boston?
Sure.
And he figured no one would question that, right? And so they basically did the same thing. Hey, no one's going to question this story. Everybody knows how terrible the crime rate is here in Brazil. I mean, that's the cynical part of it. Forget about the lie.
But, well, and did you see the apology?
Oh, well hey, if that's an apology, I'll apologize to the rest of my life for everything I've done. Because that's no apology. You have to say I did something wrong.
Well, right. And you know darn well he didn't write it.
Oh,
number one,
yeah,
you got a PR guy to write it. And B, it still made him out as the victim. Well,
yeah,
I'm in
yeah.
a foreign land and I don't speak the
language.
Well,
here's the worst part. Did you see there was a spokes guy or somebody from the Olympics themselves who said, well, let's give these kids a break. You know, they're having fun and everybody makes mistakes. Hey, you know what? I'm sick and tired of this. You are not a kid when you are 23 years old. Sorry over right. here, Joey.
Right.
My producer, Joey, is 23 years old, and you are not a kid either. So stop making mistakes, even though he hasn't. I got to find Joey's mic before I could put him on here. Which is your mic? Which one? This one? This one. Yeah, go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah,
there
stop.
I am.
Joey hasn't made any mistakes. He hasn't made any mistakes, but you better not.
Deal.
Because you're not a kid. Don't have fun.
But I want to be a kid.
You can't be a kid. You know what a kid is? 12 years old.
I'm a little past that.
Yeah. That's a kid. When you're 18, when you're 21, you're an adult. No more kids. Oh, they make mistakes. I'm sick and tired of this. No one does anything wrong anymore.
No, bashing in doors at gas stations, that's not a mistake.
It's
that's a felony. It's like,
yeah, well, exactly. Well, then it's not bad enough, but then lying about it.
Right. Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, I mean, this guy now is a pariah, and I mean, he had a chance. I mean, first of all, he made that comment, if it wasn't for Michael Phelps, I'd be Michael Phelps. Okay, what kind of logic is that? Hey, if it wasn't for Babe Ruth, I'd be Babe Ruth. What are you talking about?
Right.
The guy's better than you.
Right. If there wasn't, you know, a guy who finished first, I'd finish first.
Yeah, that's not fair. Yeah. Well, that's that whole everybody gets a medal. That's that kind of philosophy in action. Well, if it wasn't for the best guy, I'd be the best guy. But you're not the best guy. So you wouldn't be the best guy. But this guy, I mean, I have to laugh because, you know, here he had the world on a string.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to come home. He won a medal. He's a good-looking guy. You know that he would get on, you know, they'd probably make him a Calvin Klein model or some BS with the swimmer's body and all that stuff. And then you'd see him. He'd probably be on, you know, The Bachelorette. He would have had everything.
Oh, yeah.
Now he's on The Biggest Liar.
Well, yeah. And he and Hope Solo, frankly, they can both just go away.
And I love those two guys. And the best part is, how did he sneak out of Dodge?
Oh, yeah, he left his teammates behind.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, what a teammate.
I know.
He leaves those two other guys that got taken off the plane. They had eyes like they were deer in a headlight. They didn't even know what the hell happened to them.
And the other guy has to write a check for $11,000 to get out of town.
And did you see how fast they turned on him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of camaraderie and teammates on that team.
Yeah, absolutely.
It wasn't me. It was him. Oh, my gosh. So I just have to say, I can't, you know, I mean, what a shame because it was a, you know, it's been a pretty, I haven't watched the Olympics. Have you watched the Olympics a lot or?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've been on and off. I tend to favor women's gymnastics and women's volleyball for some reason.
I can't imagine why that would be.
Man, all I have to say is, Allie Reisman, holy smokes. Wow. I won't even say anything more. But, I mean, you know, it is funny, though, when you watch these Olympics. I saw a story the other day. Women's sports are getting more popular than men. Women's gymnastics are more popular than men's. Well, why do you think? I mean, what? Are we trying to, you know, not tell you the truth here? And I don't understand now. Do you see these women that run track?
Well, yeah.
They're running in thongs.
No, I just about.
I mean, what is shorts? I mean, is that extra 5 inches of material going to really slow you down?
It's all about drag coefficient, Jim.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. Hey, they're playing it up. Although I got a kick out of that one story. They said that McDonald's was giving away free food. And so these top athletes
were
picking out on McDonald's food. That they had to even limit them to 20 items each.
They got to play catch up, you know.
Yeah. But don't you love that? I mean, don't you like you see this, you know, this amazingly ripped athlete, and he goes, "I'll have four fillet of fish, 7 quarter pounders. Yeah, throw in an apple pie. And give me a flurry too." Oh, you mean you got breakfast? Okay, give me a sausage with egg.
Yeah.
And a McGriddle.
Whatever I can carry out of here, I'm taking.
What do you mean only 20 things? Well, anyway, Mark, I always have fun with you talking about we always talk a little bit about sports and more about other things, but
we manage that, don't we?
But time always flies by. I want to appreciate it. We'll certainly have you back as things get even crazier here in the coming weeks and months because I got to say, in fact, I'm killing myself because back in March, I bought a ticket to an Elton John concert in Las Vegas, right?
Mm-hmm.
In October. October 26th.
Oh, my.
Well, I mean, in March, who's thinking about World Series, right?
Exactly.
Well, now it turns out that could be like the first or second game of the World Series.
Oh, my.
I mean, Elton, I love you, but it's Cubs World Series.
Now, it doesn't happen all that much.
No, exactly. I could go see an Elton concert anytime. But it is number 165. So the only good thing is that, you know, it's a 2-hour difference. So the game will probably start in Vegas at 6. Concert starts at 7:30. So I could see, and then it ends at 9:30. So I could probably see the beginning and the end. So I can just watch it at the Caesar Sportsbook.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So I'm already planning for a Cubs World Series. I'm planning to be watching game 1 or 2 in Vegas. That's my plan.
There you go. Well, just take Elton with you for the post-concert.
Well, he's a big big baseball fan because he lived in Atlanta. He still has a place in Atlanta. And so he's been there throughout the last 20 years when Atlanta always had great teams.
Well, I still remember his big sparkly L.A. Dodgers outfit.
Oh, yeah, that was from the 75 show at Dodger Stadium. In fact, about 20 years ago when Maddox was on the Braves, Elton came to Wrigley Field. He was in town, and he came to the Cub game and met Greg Maddox. You know,
my goodness. Yeah. Talk about different personalities.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
Greg, who's never said a word ever.
Yeah, no kidding. He didn't even know who he was. But anyway, Mark Vasco, always fun to talk sports with you, and we will certainly do it again soon. Thanks for checking in and having some fun.
You got it. Anytime, my friend.
Okay. And welcome back to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic as we continue the fun and frivolity here. And as I said, it's been now, this is episode 14. And so it's almost like I've done it for 2 weeks if I did one every day as opposed to every week. So I've got my sea legs now, so I'm going to stretch out. Wanted to get myself a little acclimated to the podcast format as well as the listener to get an idea of to what the show might be like and sound like, but I think we're almost there. And so what I wanted to do, we've been doing a weekly segment called Pop Culture Club, talking about pop culture with one of my friends and a pop culture guru himself, Mick Kaler. But I wanted to expand things now. We've gotten, as I said, a little comfortable with the format and try some new things. And so I wanted to start something called the Millennial Meter. And that is because, you know, I mean, I'm feeling a little old. And if you've listened to me at all on the radio over the last several years, you've every so often heard me talk about my godson, Patrick. And we've got a great relationship. I'm very proud. It's one of the most important relationships of my life. And it's even more important now because he's helping me be cool. Because I'm not feeling as cool as I used to. I'm not feeling in with the scene. I'm not feeling in with the in crowd. So he has become my millennial meter. Now, Patrick Minogue is here. How you doing, Patrick?
Hey, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Now, you are how old?
I am 30, about to be 31.
You're almost 31.
So I'm an older millennial.
I mean, yeah, so now where does the millennial thing hit?
I think it cuts off at 35.
Okay, right, so you still got a couple of years. You're kind of in the sweet spot, though.
Yeah.
And I would say, of anybody that I know on a close basis, you are, you know, you fit the millennial bill.
Sure.
To, you know, every 3 weeks, you don't have a beard, then you do have a beard. Then you don't have a beard, and you do have a beard. Then you have stubble, then you're clean shaven.
Right.
Then you have the hair on your sides cut off, and then you have a full head of hair. So,
Michael.
Yeah, it's the whole thing.
Right.
You know, now you some days you have deck shoes on, other days you have sandals on, some days you have cargo shorts on, some days you have pastel shorts on. Some days you have a checkered shirt on. Some days you have a V-neck T-shirt on. Yeah. Some days you wear your hat straight. Now today you got your head
backward.
Your hat like M&M.
Snapback.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, you are to me my millennial meter. So I come to Patrick to ask him, you know, what's cool and what's not. Now the other side of the coin is I have always shied away from whatever is cool. So even when stuff was cool when I was growing up, I didn't like to wear it. Like when in the 80s, guys used to wear polo shirts with the collar up.
Right.
I never did.
The pop collar.
Yeah, I hated it.
Right.
Or they used to wear these two shirts.
Layering.
Layering.
Okay.
Never layered.
Okay.
Okay. Won't layer. Now, do you layer?
It depends.
Yeah, see, I know.
I'm a seasonal layer.
I know. I've seen you layer.
Yeah.
And I've seen millennials of your ilk,
right?
Layer,
yep.
And I scoff at you. So this is difficult because I love Patrick to death,
yeah.
But I also kind of hate him,
right? It's love hate, very real love hate.
I hate what you stand for, but right. I love you as a person,
right? Right.
No, I'm just joking. No, but no, it is a funny thing. What I've so. I wanted to talk because I come to Patrick, and we do have some, you know, interesting discussions. Now, the first time I really came to him was for my alcoholic needs.
Mm-hmm.
We went out, and I've known him since the day he was born. I was literally in the hospital the day he was born.
Right.
So, so we would go out now, and I mean, he and his wife, Thea, did me the greatest honor. I officiated their wedding about a year and a half ago.
Also very millennial. Very,
very millennial to have, yeah. Like, yeah, no, you know, don't have any kind of,
right.
You know, official person, mm-hmm. Get like a friend or a relative or yeah. Somebody like that.
Godfather.
Yeah, so that's very, yeah, right. That was very mm-hmm. Millennial and right. Very progressive, definitely. That was right in tune.
Right.
They didn't have the wedding in a church. They had it all in one
loft. Right.
Looking at downtown.
Yeah. In the winter.
In the winter, right. Didn't do summer.
Right, right.
Yeah, the whole thing. So, yeah. And hey, that's fine. I mean, you should be of your age.
Right.
I never was. I should have been born either 50 years before I was born. I would have been so cool in 1910. Your head would have spun. But, you know, so I should have. I've never felt. And that's because my year, when I was born in 1964, and my year is the cutoff year of the baby boomer generation, which is ridiculous.
Right.
Because the early part of it, they're 70 years old.
Right.
I mean, I'm not, I don't have anything in common.
Sure.
Even though Elton is 69, but I mean, that doesn't matter. But I mean, in terms of me,
right.
You know, that's not who I am. The right. Baby boom generation was defined on people that came home from the war
right.
And had kids. The babies boomed.
Right.
Because
very
everybody
literal.
Was horny
right.
When they came home.
They were excited.
Yeah, they were excited to be home and excited to see that their wives were still there.
Right.
So by 1964, you know, but they like to do these things in 20-year increments. So,
yeah.
But then I was raised by Depression-era parents. So they were older. So I don't really fit in with Generation X because I'm not like that hippie-ish guy either.
Right.
I'm liberal-minded, but I'm not like totally hippie-ish.
Right. Hayden Ashbury wasn't really on
the
radar.
No, no. Yeah. So I'm in the middle. Mm-hmm. I feel like the lost child. I don't fit in anywhere. I'm not a baby boomer. I'm not a Generation X. But you're right. Not only are you in the sweet spot of a millennial, but you embrace the millennial world.
Sure.
So the first thing that I came to Patrick with, because I noticed, so we went out a couple of years ago, and, you know, everybody's ordering beers. Okay. Now, I'm not a big beer drinker, but I do have, if I have to pick one beer that's my favorite, it's Stella Artois, which about
that.
10 years ago, some guy said, hey, this beer is good. It was just beginning to make its way.
Right.
So I go out with Patrick and his wife and a bunch of their friends, and the beer ordering was like
took a while.
Well, it was an event.
Right. Yes.
I mean, you actually look at that beer menu.
Right. Thoroughly.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, you've worked, now you, Patrick works in public relations, and you've worked for some alcohol brands.
Yep.
Jack Daniels and
Goose Island.
Yeah. So a part of this was personal, part of it was professional.
Right.
But I was shocked to see how, you know, you would always pick different beers.
Right. Yeah, variety is key. Well, you know what? For me, too, I like to, like, because I know you, you know, we started with Stella with you.
Right.
And I was like, all right, what can I get Jim? How can I increase Jim's vocabulary in beer? So that was like, I was excited about it.
Yeah.
Know? So I'm like, show me what, you know, the menu is. And I forget.
And I defer to you.
Right.
When we go out, I say, Patrick, you order for me.
Sure. Yeah, which could be, it could be a millennial trait, perhaps.
What's
that? To kind of take ownership of the ordering of the.
Well,
of the
that's, I'm going to get to another point because taking ownership is exactly one of my points, but we'll get back to that later.
All right, we'll circle back.
Okay, so yeah, so I defer to you. So now you've offered me some beers with what?
Hibiscus. Yep. Very seasonal.
What's that, IPN or something?
The IPA.
IPA?
Yeah.
Is that an Olympic association or what is the IPA?
Yeah, it's a style of beer.
Oh, what does that mean, IPA?
India Pale Ale.
India?
Yeah.
India Why Pale? India?
It's a style that I believe it's the variation of hops they use in the
so
process.
Like, so IPA is a kind of
style of beer.
And then style
the,
of
then
beer.
There's the APA, which is the American Pale Ale, which is a little less bitter. So again, it's all based on the hop variation. So yeah,
and
for
you,
I know I keep you away from something really bitter, because if you like a Stella, I try and steer you in that direction.
I'll listen to you.
Yeah, like a Pilsner ish. With maybe a little added hop flavor or hibiscus.
Yeah, this one's hibiscus. Okay, whatever. Yeah. Whenever we go to a party, like, you know, there's like big can, you know, because if you go to a party by Patrick's house or by his parents, they have the giant cooler.
Right.
And then there's everything in there.
Right.
And before when I was growing up, there was, you know, five beers and then there was Heineken.
Right.
Ooh.
The import.
Yeah, it was green.
Right.
You know, and now I mean, what kills me is not even the names, but all of the cans of beers are all these crazy colors.
Oh, yeah. Color variations, crazy names. And, you know, it's the local brewery down the street, some brewer in his basement making beer.
Now, just to show, I mean, that you are not a poser.
Thank you.
You are not a poser.
Right.
No, you, like I said, now, so I'm looking in the paper recently, and there's this big ad that says the biggest craft beer festival in the city, in the Midwest.
Yeah.
So I sent him an email. I said, I'm sure you know about this, but just in case you don't, there's this big thing. And he sends me back, and what was your email?
Yeah, my response was, I think we booked this 4 months ago, but thanks. <yeah. laughs> Thanks for floating it past me.
And I said, I should have known. It's like me not knowing when there's an Elton John concert.
Right.
Or something.
Yeah.
But so, yeah. So you are legit when it comes to the beers. And some I like, some I don't.
Right.
But I'm very open.
You are.
And I'm open because part of it is I want to feel like I'm in with the scene.
Right. Yeah, and I remember I've asked you, Jim, you know, what kind of, should I get Stella? You're like, no, I'm good. Bring some craft beer along.
Right.
I'm ready.
Because the best part is that Pat's father, Pat Sr., is way old school.
Yeah.
And he's still clinging to his Coors.
Bud Light.
And Bud Lights.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know, like I said, the only time I drink beer literally is when I'm with you or your dad.
Right.
Really. I have no beer in my house. Except,
and
the only time I have beer.
Leftover.
Is leftover for when you guys come over.
Right.
And then it sits there for 4 months until you come
over. Okay, I got some beer in the fridge.
Yeah, there's still some Goose Island that you didn't even eat, didn't even drink the last time. There's still two bottles in there.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah, so I will continue to be, so there's no doubt, if you want to be a millennial, you got to be into this craft beer thing, right?
Yeah, of age millennials.
Now, here's the thing. You talked about ownership.
Yeah.
So, about a month or so ago, Pat's dad has a pontoon boat. And so it was great. There's a lake by their house. And so we went on the pontoon boat with Patrick and his wife and my friend Pat and Patrick's parents and his sister and my wife. And we had a real nice time.
Yep.
Beautiful day on the lake. And we had fun. There were sandwiches. And of course, there was craft beers. And so, and then Patrick, you know, thankfully shares my love of music. And I've tried to pass on whatever nuggets of you know, musical knowledge and tastes. Take them to a few concerts. We went to see Springsteen back in January.
We did. That was awesome.
In fact, I'm going to go see him again next week. He's coming back. Okay. But anyway, so so we're on the pontoon boat, and Patrick's sitting there with his, you know, once again, I have a flip phone, as I've told you. I have a flip phone, and it's already, and my flip phone has too much on it.
Right.
It's my flip phone is overwhelmed. I have bowling and Tetris. Okay, so my
no
head's
snake?
Spinning already.
No snake?
No.
No snake.
No, I tried it and then I had to reboot it.
It shut down.
It shut down. So Patrick puts on what kind of music?
I feel like we put on...
What was the type of the new genre?
The new genre. We use Spotify, I remember
right,
that.
But you said, oh, this is a new kind of music.
It was like modern country.
No,
no.
Oh. Yacht music.
Oh, yacht rock.
Yacht rock.
Yes, yacht rock. That's right. That's
right. So now I'm like.
Fable
so,
category.
So he goes, oh, here's some yacht rock. So yeah. I'm like, okay, what is yacht rock?
What's about to happen?
Yeah. And he goes, well, this is great. This is the music.
For the boat.
Yeah, for the boat. This yeah. is yacht rock. And I'm like, well, what is yacht rock? So now he puts it on. Do you have a list? Where did you get the yacht rock from?
It was from Spotify, the you know the music curator. And it was basically a curated playlist that they created, that someone else created.
Okay, so just so you know, I have no Spotify. I have no...
Spotify's way out of there. This Tetris
no
on your phone.
No Pandora's box. Right, right. I don't do any of that. I got my iPod.
Right.
Thanks to you, actually.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that.
I mean, he brought me into the 1990s.
Yep.
5 years ago right. with an iPod, which I still have, right. my 24,000 songs. And that's, for me, that's, you know, that's fine. So, but yacht rock.
Yacht rock.
So he puts it on, and you had this little gizmo. Mm-hmm. What was that gizmo that you had?
It's a little you know, wireless speaker that connects to Bluetooth to my iPhone.
Bluetooth.
Right.
Once again, I don't have any. My teeth are white.
Yeah, I see Jim's eyes just like rolling.
No
back.
Bluetooth.
No idea.
Yeah, I told you I got a new car. My phone would not hook into the Bluetooth.
All right, that's right.
It wouldn't find it.
Wouldn't do it.
So he goes, "Let me play the Spotify yacht rock on the."
On the wireless
Bluetooth.
Speaker.
Bluetooth. So
while
right away.
Craft beer.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was in millennial hell right here. I wanted to jump
Purgatory.
Off. I wanted to jump off the boat.
You're but, too far from
yeah,
shore.
Yeah, it was too far from shore. I mean, I was being inundated with every millennial cliche. But once again, that's why you're here.
Sure.
You're my meter.
Yeah. And it was like, what, Kenny Loggins? No, it was Christopher
Cross. Yeah.
Sailing.
Right.
Right.
But so here's the best part. So. You know, I'm listening to yacht rock, which right. is now, oh, this is yacht rock. So I'm listening to the songs as they're playing them. And I'm noticing, because I'm waiting to hear like songs I've never heard. And I'm noticing that basically yacht rock is soft rock from the 70s. Right. So it was Bread, America, Orleans, Ambrosia, Firefall, Crisscross, Steely Dan.
Michael McDonald.
Michael
McDonald.
Oh, oh my God. It was like a Michael McDonald greatest hits album times 50.
It was.
It was either Michael McDonald was singing as part of the Doobie Brothers.
Right.
He was singing you know, background vocals on Christopher Cross. He was singing a duet with somebody, or he was singing his own song.
Right.
Every song was Michael McDonald.
Yeah.
So I'm listening to these songs and I'm like, okay, these are my songs. This is songs from my era. Yeah. This isn't yacht rock. So then I don't even think I told you about this. And now I go home, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I have Sirius in my car.
Okay.
That day that we came, that we were
Got
leaving
back.
You from the pontoon
yeah,
boat.
Yeah.
I click on my Sirius. I'm listening to it. And they go, and go to, you know, for a special time just through this summer till the end of August, go to Channel 18 to the yacht rock station.
There you go. So like I can't get away from
it.
No matter what I do.
I never even heard of yacht rock. And now I am inundated with yacht rock.
Right.
So now that's been my favorite station all summer.
Right.
But here's the thing. That's not your music.
Right. We're borrowing it.
No, no.
We're rebranding it.
Yeah, so that's exactly. So that was my point. What I am noticing about all the millennial, you know, fads is that all you guys are doing are taking what's already there, rebranding it under a name, and then, and you used the word before, you're adopting it
right
as your own. And I'm sitting there going, wait a minute. You know, Steely Dan is not your music. Or Christopher Cross.
Even if we dress it up with a
no.
Fan, yeah.
And I'll tell you the other time where this struck me. Two times. So we went to a Cub game, I believe, about a year or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, you went by your friend's house.
Oh, right.
And he, in his apartment. And he was playing his music.
Sure.
And so, and he said he, and you know, he's got, he had all his Bluetooth connected.
Wireless.
Yeah. And he's playing all that stuff. And so all of a sudden, I can't remember what song it was, but it was like a song. Oh, it was Come and Get Your Love.
Oh, yeah.
By Redbone.
Great song.
Okay. 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 Great song. Okay. I'm glad you like it, but it's not your
it's not
song.
Us. Right.
It's my song from when I was 10.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, we're sitting there, and there's a big group of people, and Come and Get Your Love comes on, and all of Patrick and his friends, they're all, come and get your love.
Right.
And so, and your buddy, whose place it was, he comes with me, he goes, did you ever hear this song?
No.
Isn't it great?
You're like,
and
yeah.
I'm like, yeah, when I was 10.
Right.
I can even tell you all the members of Redbone.
Wow. Impressive.
And they were a Native American band.
Right, right.
So then I'm like, wow. So that didn't hit me yet. I mean, the Yacht Rock thing got me go, okay, wait a minute. What's clear with what's going on here now is
it was eye-opening.
They're just taking other stuff, giving it a new name, because it was there's been soft rock radio stations forever.
Right.
Playing Air Supply for 40 years.
Right.
You guys are acting
right.
Like it's new.
Right, right, right.
All the bands of that soft rock, they're all 100.
Right. Yeah. And we're like, this is brand new,
this is
right?
great. Which, and I don't blame you. Hey, yeah. when I was in my early teens, early like 12, there's a big, like when Happy Days came on, the show Happy Days, mm-hmm. there was a big rebirth of the 50s music because of the movie American Graffiti.
Okay.
Even though that took place in the 60s, but a lot of the songs were all from the 50s on the
soundtrack.
And so there was this big revival. That's why Happy Days became a hit. There was this big 50s revival. And so, hey, I had never heard those songs.
Right.
So believe me, I understand.
Right.
But here's the thing. We didn't rebrand them
right.
and pretend that they were ours. So that's where I have a problem with you guys.
That's an issue, okay.
Yeah, especially in music. Now I got a little issue with
right.
it. So the other time, so we're at Patrick's wedding. Beautiful wedding, fun time. And, you know, a nice mix of music. As I said, what was your DJ's name?
Oh, DJ.
What was her name?
Oh, man, her name was great. Yeah. It was
it was a great name, too.
Ruby.
Ruby's
Desjardin. Desjardin.
Right.
Ruby Desjardin.
Oh, so yeah. Ruby played, she was smart.
Yeah.
She played, I don't know whether she saw this or she went on the fly, but she surveyed the audience, or this is what she does all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But she wisely played a nice mix of music for the first hour and a half or so.
Right.
And then when all the older people like me got tired of dancing,
yep.
then they played all your crap.
Right.
All the, your, you
it was
know.
Like a line shift in hockey.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, it was like all of a sudden it was, and there was all, then they were all with
club
the,
wedding.
Yeah, they were all, elevating the structure. Or what is that?
Raising the roof.
Whatever it was.
Yeah.
And they're all doing the hands, and they're all, and I was like, okay, that's fine.
Right.
I'm not playing that at all, because I, first of all, my legs hurt.
Right.
But I had to like DJ Ruby.
Yeah.
Because in the middle of all these songs, she's playing a lot of, you know, contemporary songs.
Mm-hmm.
She throws in King Harvest's Dancing in the Moonlight.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, look, here he goes again.
Great song.
Great song.
Right. It's
okay. It's
rebranded.
It's 40 years old. Right. It's not Yacht Rock.
Right. It's been around a while.
Yeah. And so I'm like, wow. Dancing in the Moonlight.
Neat. Yeah. Right.
Very cool.
Right. Very cool.
So I remember between by your buddy's house mm-hmm. with Come and Get Your Love, mm-hmm. then I'm hearing DJ Ruby
mm-hmm.
throw in a Dance in the Moonlight. I'm like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And then you. And then.
There you go. Perfect.
I mean, this is, I love this song.
Yeah.
We get it almost every night.
See, I know the words to these songs.
Yep.
So anyway, now, Joey, you jump on here. Because Joey Gelman, who was producing the show, you're 23, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's...
Now, he's even younger than you.
Yeah.
So now, where are you falling in on this?
I think I agree with a lot of what you guys are saying. It's really interesting to see the span between, you know, I compare my friends to what your friends would be doing, too. And the biggest thing out of all this goes all the way back to the beginning with the craft beers. It is the biggest thing. And it's funny because I'm like you. I'm, for some reason, not as big of a beer guy. Just I haven't become that yet. But everywhere we go, there is a endless menu of craft beers.
Right.
And
it's bigger than the food menu.
Right. It's bigger than the food menu, and that's the biggest thing you go out for. It's to find, you know, the Miller Lights and the Bud Lights of the world are the old hat. It's now, right. I'm going to get this beer that no one's heard of and make it mine, as you said, with ownership,
right.
And you roll from there.
So now, Patrick, for instance, are you going to go to this craft beer thing this weekend?
Right.
So now what are you going to do? So, I forgot to say, too, not only does Patrick have the continually changing shaving, but then, of course, he's got the tattoo. He's got ink. You went for the ink.
Recent ink. Right.
I was shocked that you went for ink.
I know. It's a cliche. I mean, between the PR, marketing.
Embrace your cliche.
Right.
You're a cliche.
I'm all in.
But
I'm
you're all, yeah, at least you're not faking it.
Right.
And I'll tell you, I'll give you credit. Not only did he get a tattoo, he got an effing tattoo.
It's a quart half sleeve.
I mean, this is like a major tattoo from where? It goes from your elbow to your forearm.
Yeah.
Or to your wrist.
Yep, elbow to wrist. So just
wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's serious tatting.
Yep, it's a serious piece. A piece, as they say.
It's not a tattoo?
Yeah, it's a piece.
It's a piece.
Right,
see, here we go. You can't just go and get a tattoo.
Right.
Can't get a tattoo. Yeah. So like you say, I'm going to go get a piece?
Yeah, well, I learned that.
Because in my day, that meant you get to get a toupee.
Right. <That's true. laughs> See, now millennials just shave.
Yeah, of course.
But, so it's a funny story with that. So I got the first tattoo, which is the wedding tattoo. Yeah, Thea's initials here on the ring finger.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So this is the first piece.
When did you get your first piece? Before the wedding or after?
Just after.
Oh, really?
Months after, yeah. And then I went in.
So does she have that too?
She does.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I went in, and then, you know, they're like, oh, new first tattoo. I'm like, yeah. And then
First piece.
And then 2 months later, I got the full arm sleeve, and he's like, wow, you're really going
in. Oh, you went back?
Yeah. So that's, yeah.
You went to the same guy?
Same guy.
Yeah. Okay, so he's got the bad facial hair that never stays on and off. It's always
seasonal.
It's not even seasonal.
Right.
It's weekly.
That's true.
I mean, you're lucky that you can grow a nice beard.
Yeah.
But now here's the thing. So now let's stay on that for a second. Mm-hmm. Because I have always had, I had a beard literally when I was a freshman in high school.
Right.
Over Christmas vacation, I grew a beard.
You're like, who is this guy?
Well, yeah, because I had hair under my arms when I was in sixth grade. But so now this is what my millennial meter is
for. Okay.
So not only are we going to talk about the trends, I got to ask you a couple of questions.
Yeah, okay.
So here's the thing. Okay, everybody's growing a beard.
Mm-hmm.
Although Joey does not have a beard. Can you grow a beard, Joey?
Not really. It's kind of a sad.
It's a little shadow.
Okay.
It's patches of Houlihan all over.
You got the shadow going.
So here's my question. Okay, now I've had a goatee for 20-some years.
Right.
Now, here's my question. I haven't grown a beard in 10 years. I was doing a play, and I had to grow a beard. And now it was 10 years ago, and I noticed that it was getting gray. Now, I'm sure, because I could just tell when I don't shave, I could see that it's gray, because my goatee is gray. I dye my goatee.
Yeah.
So here's my question.
Okay.
Can I grow a gray beard, or is that, like, not cool?
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Oh, is it?
Totally. Yep.
Really?
Let the gray out, yeah.
Really?
For sure, yeah. Full beard with some gray in it? Yeah. Jeanette,
really?
I think that'd be a good look, yeah.
So that doesn't – I'm not looking like I'm trying – to be you.
No, because if you have the gray and just kind of let it go, it shows that you're just kind of, it is what it is, versus dyeing it. Then you're like, okay, now you're trying too hard a little bit. Just let it go. I think it'd be a good look, Jim. I think you should try it.
Because I thought it would just look like I'm a poser.
No.
Like I'm trying to jump on the bandwagon, which I don't like to do, as I told you before.
Right. I was going to bring this up earlier. You're kind of that classic guy. I mean, you're wearing all black now, and you've always done that.
I've always done that.
And I think that's very on trend now. So you stay here in that classic space.
I'm always.
And everyone's kind of coming in and out.
Yeah, I've known your dad for 40 years.
Right.
I have three friends. I have one beer. I mean, I am very, when I find something I like,
you stay there.
I stay there.
And that works too.
So I could grow a beard then.
I think you could.
The gray beard.
Yeah.
All right.
I think you
Interesting.
Could.
Now, here's another question I got for you.
Yep.
I got to ask you about shoes.
Okay, good topic.
Because you guys notice you have a lot of different.
A few pairs of shoes.
So, I have been wearing Doc Martin shoes.
Yep.
These Doc
Black
Martins.
Ones. Yeah. I know.
I actually have some blue. I have some, but I like Doc Martens.
Mm-hmm.
They're comfortable. I like the sole. I like the look.
Durable.
So, I've been wearing, and they were hip in the 90s when the whole grunge thing started. And I was wearing them before that, and I continue to wear them when they go on and off. But now here's my question. So now are these out of style or not?
No, I think they're coming back.
Really?
Yeah, the combat boot, chunky boots for sure.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think. So again, you're right to hit this peak of where millennials and your style are kind of coming.
Right, so in other words, I just need to just hold tight.
Outlast.
I just need to just hang on for like 6 more months. 100%. And I will be the coolest dude.
Yeah.
I will be in the in crowd.
100% agree.
All right.
You're trending right now.
Because that was what I needed to know from this first episode of the Millennial Meter. I needed to know about this beard thing because I've been toying with it.
I think you go for it. I hope our next episode you have a beard.
Oh.
And
we could discuss.
We could discuss.
So now when I grow a beard, like I don't like the big shaggy beard.
Mm-hmm.
You always have a pretty well,
decently trimmed.
Trimmed.
Yeah.
I always go for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was wondering, that was my biggest question, because I didn't know what to do, whether I should. Now, do you think that should I not even dye? So I should have the whole.
Full bore.
Yeah, so I should not even dye the goatee part of it then.
No, I think you let it go. Yeah.
And whatever's there is there.
Yeah.
And you can let it go long, but then you can you got to coif it still. So it could be as good as you want it to be, or as long as you want it to be, but it's got to be well kept.
Right.
Oh, No, I always did that.
Yeah.
Regardless, I always the coolest thing for me. I loved when I grow a beard. I love the line under your chin.
Neck trim. Yeah.
I loved making that little line.
Right.
And I always would come just like
square
yours.
Square it up. Yeah.
Just square it up. I never would. I always would shave if there's any strays on your cheeks.
Right.
I wouldn't just let it grow.
You don't want that. You don't want the neck beard down
here.
The J Cutler neck beard.
No. But, okay, well, that was my big question. So I wanted to initiate this episode. First, let you know how much I dislike the millennials.
Right.
But at the same time, admire you.
Sure.
So this is where I'm stuck. And you, to me, you are not a poser. You are in the swing of it. Every time I see you, you're wearing something different. He's got a Panama hat on one day. The next day, he's got...
no hat.
No
snap
hat.
Back.
Yeah, I
Fitted
mean...
hat.
Yeah, you know. Mm-hmm. So I never know what to expect, but you always look very... I mean, the one thing I will say about the millennials, which is cool, because this is what I used to do, too. If I had one word to describe the millennials, it's natty. You guys dress natty.
Natty.
Look that up.
Okay, I will.
But it's very stylish but very neat and cool looking. Like, for instance, I see all these guys wearing bow ties, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. 15 years ago, I was working at a PR firm, and this was just at the beginning of Casual Fridays.
Okay.
So I was still wearing a suit every day to work.
Yeah.
And I said, why don't we, because it was so boring, you're always wearing a tie every day. You know, you had to like 5 different ties, and they have more than that, which I still have all those ties. But I said, why don't we wear bow ties on Bow Tie Tuesday?
Oh, there you go.
So I started a thing in our office, Bow Tie Tuesday. And like me and 4 other guys would wear bow ties. And everybody thought it was like, oh, this is crazy.
Yeah, rebels.
But now I see guys wearing bow ties all the time.
Yeah. But you again, you have to be a certain type to pull off a bow.
Yeah.
But like I don't do the bow tie.
You don't do bow ties.
No.
Oh.
I think it's a certain type.
See, now I've always wore vests. Yeah. I love vests. Now vests are coming back or they're in.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Depends. And I've always loved wearing vests.
Yeah. You know, it again.
See, you guys just got to get your own crap, man.
Right. I think we're searching for something to hold on to. you know, as in the shared economy.
But
right,
real quick, so
shared.
What are you going to do with this craft beer thing? Seriously.
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to go. I'm definitely, I have the, you know, the lineup of craft beers. I think there's like 53 craft breweries that are going to be there. So I'm going to go to my favorites. There's one, there's a brewery called Beguile Brewing. So I'll be checking out their booth. So what it is they have their little booths. They come in and people come in, they pour you a beer, what they have. They usually have like three offerings from each brewery.
So this is like your generation's wine.
Yes.
Because when you were sitting there earlier saying, well, I'd like to move you into a Pilsner right. and all this BS, you're basically sounding like
someone
like here. A wine connoisseur. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I think it's moving that direction. And So definitely going to hit up some favorites and try and have some conversations with some of the owners of the brewery. I always like that.
And know. How long are you going to stay at this thing?
So we have the VIP tickets. So we're going to be there. Of course. We're going to get there. I think it starts 12:30. So we'll probably be there from 12:30 to about 2:30. But,
oh, that's all?
Yeah. We'll see.
Oh, I mean, you won't stay that long.
Well, because we're going to be there. We're going to. So there's a couple special events for the VIP ticket holders. So they have food pairings
at
different places. There's that beer shop location right there downtown. Yeah. So they're having a food.
Yeah, this thing is in Oak Park, by the way.
Yeah.
In downtown Oak Park. Oak Park.
Yep, yeah. On Saturday. So we'll go to that. There's going to be some live music, Jim. So
now, could I go to this now or no? Is it sold out?
Tickets are available.
Oh, you can still go?
Yeah.
How much does it cost?
Send you the link. I think they're like 75 for regular admission.
75 a head?
Person. Yeah.
Honest to God?
Yeah. Well, you do get a gift bag, Jim. With a little branded glass that I know you'll use for your...
So how much was your VIP?
VIP were, I think, like 115.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Holy smokes.
But, you know, we want to get in before, you know...
Well, hey, I'm not... I'm all for that.
I know, yeah.
You know that. Yeah. But I'm just saying, wow, so this mm-hmm. thing is a major deal.
It's the 9th annual?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
you'll stay there for how many... For how long?
We'll say 3 hours, to be honest.
Yeah,
you know. We'll see.
Now, are you going to get drunk at this?
You know what? There's a lot of high gravity beers.
Okay, what does that mean?
That's like high alcohol beers.
So high gravity?
High gravity. High ABV. So you got to stay away from those, and you know, I'll try and steer towards the more like sessionable, which is another term I'm sure.
Sessionable?
Love.
Yeah. What does that mean?
Beers that you can have a few of and not, you know, not get too buzzed up.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Session ale.
See, that's why you got to be the millennial meter.
I'll see if they're terms.
Yeah, you are full.
Yeah.
Well, you're full of something.
Right.
I don't know if it's terms, but you're full of something.
Right. Authentically full of
something. Well, I am very happy with our first. You are the charter member.
All right.
And I'm going to make Joey a charter member, too.
All right.
Of the millennial meter.
We're in.
And I'm glad because you gave me some helpful hints. I was able to, first of all, I was able to vent.
Right.
Get that off the table. Now you know where I'm at.
Right. We know where we set up.
Right. Now I'm glad I asked you about the beard. I'm very excited about this.
I am as well.
So now, you know what? I shaved yesterday.
Okay.
So maybe I'm not going to shave now.
You know what we could do? So what we could do, Jim, is we could do, you grow the beard, I grow the beard, and then we can go to my barber together. Uh-huh. We can sit down and get the full shave where they line you up with
the straight razor.
Yeah, over on Lake Street.
We can see, once again.
Millennial.
So you have to go and go to a barber.
Hashtag millennial.
Yeah. You have to go to like official barber with the straight edge, right?
Yep.
Yeah, you can't just do it yourself.
I can't.
See, once again.
I can't be trusted.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very excited. So for episode one of the Millennial Meter, I now know that I could grow a gray beard and it would be cool.
Yep. Agree, 100%.
And I also know that you are stealing my music.
Borrowing.
My yacht news. Yeah, yeah.
We're sharing.
Yeah, no.
It's a shared economy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's yacht news. I couldn't believe it when I turned my radio on. I go, turn on number channel 18. I'm like, where did this come from?
Yacht rock category.
Yacht rock.
Tune in.
So next week, or next time, I don't know when we'll do this, but I will throw some, I will get some more ideas because I need to just, I'm feeling like I'm drifting a little away. Mm-hmm. From the pulse.
And I would say you're not too far. Like we talked about the monochromatic, all black.
Yeah. So, okay. I'm happy to know that I'm not in with the in crowd, but I'm not at that far out yet.
Right.
Okay.
100%.
Very good.
We're learning stuff from each other, Jim.
Very good. Well, and that's what it should be.
Right.
That's the evolution of life. It's a circle of life.
Right.
You used to learn from me. No, I'm learning from you.
And then I'm learning from you again.
There you go. Yeah. It's a circle of life.
Right.
It's a wheel of fortune. It's a leap of faith. Anyway, I want to thank Patrick Minogue on our first episode of Millennial Meter. He is my official Millennial Meter, and we will continue to do this throughout the life of this podcast so I can continue to be as cool as possible. And thanks to Joey Gelman for not only producing, but also for getting because you are the other side of the millennial, you know.
I try to hold my own as the younger side.
Yeah, the younger side.
All-rounded.
The only thing I do care about the millennials for two reasons. The main one being that most likely your age group is going to be in charge of my Social Security and my other health benefits, and I don't want you to screw that up.
Good luck. Okay.
So anyway, no thanks to Patrick Minogue, my official Millennial Meter, and thank you for clicking in to Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic here at WGN+. Hope you will continue to click on every Monday for a new episode. And don't forget, this is Captain Podtastic, from the end of the web to your screen.